And he now has the task he didn't want, and that is to go and see Pharaoh. And he'd really wanted somebody else to go, but actually, God said, it's you. Have you had that experience in your life? It's you. So, here we are, bricks without straw. A right mess you've got us into. That's what the Israelites thought. Afterwards, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go, so that they may hold a festival to me in the desert. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go. Then they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now, let us take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, or he may strike us with plagues or with the sword. But the king of Egypt said, Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to your work. Then Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are now numerous, and you are stopping them from working. That same day, Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and foremen in charge of the people. You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw, but require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. That's why they're crying out, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Make the work harder for the men so that they keep working and pay no attention to lies. Then the slave drivers and the foreman went out and said to the people, this is what Pharaoh says. I will not give you any more straw. Go and get your own straw, wherever you can find it. But your work will not be reduced at all. So the people scattered all over Egypt to gather stubble to use for straw. The slave drivers kept pressing them, saying, complete the work required of you for each day, just as when you had straw. The Israelite foreman appointed by Pharaoh's slave drivers were beaten and were asked, why don't you meet your quota of bricks yesterday or today as before? Then the Israelite foreman went and appealed to Pharaoh, why have you treated your servants this way? Your servants are given no straw, yet we are told, make bricks. Your servants are being beaten, but the fault is with your own people. Pharaoh said, lazy. That's what you are, lazy. That is why you keep saying, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Now get to work. You will not be given any straw, yet you must produce your full quota of bricks. The Israelite foreman realized they were in trouble when they were told, you are not to reduce the number of bricks required of you for each day. When they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them, and they said, may the Lord look upon you and judge you. You have made us a stench in Pharaoh and his officials, and have put a sword in their hand to kill us. Moses returned to the Lord and said, O Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon this people, and you have not rescued your people at all. Amen. Well, I'm glad I'm not in their situation this morning. You know, some of you may have at home a very precious book. I put Bible number one, but you may have a very precious book full of photographs. And you get it out, perhaps, on certain special day of the year, and you look at them. It's your wedding that you're looking at the photos of. And in the back of ours, we've got some telegrams. And one was from my uncle, whom I worked for 5 years in his boarding house. No, let's call it a guest house on the Isle of Wight. I used to go every day, every year during summer breaks from university. And we had a telegram from him, which was read out, and it said this: "Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt." Well, of course, he was Pharaoh, wasn't he? Making me do all the work. Well, no. I mean, morning teas, serving the breakfast, doing the washing up for 100 people, not on my own. But thou shalt remember you were a bondman in Egypt. And you know, all of us were once bondmen and women, bondage to Satan. Doesn't sound nice, does it? It isn't good either. And some people are still in that bondage, and they live around us. But you see, God is the one who delivers. And while this chapter is almost totally dismal, until the last bit. So you've got to wait for the last bit. Okay? So let's get into the first bit. Okay. First of all, I want to speak about this, because this word, this sentence, was very much on my heart when I heard it. I couldn't get away from it. Verse 2. And it says, it says, who is the Lord? Who is the Lord? Isn't that exactly what our world would say to us? If we said, do you know, God wants us to repent and turn to him. If you spoke like that to your next door neighbour, do you know, you need to repent and turn to the Lord. And in years gone by, there were people who held up texts, repent, the end is nigh. Well, as far as Pharaoh was concerned, his question was back, who is the Lord? Who is he? Because the Egyptians had got many gods, whereas, of course, the Israelites had one God, Jehovah, the one who was their father's God. And they knew him and they worshipped him. But now everything seemed to be a total mess. They were slaves in Egypt. So, people might say, who is the Lord that I might obey him? I think these days that is exactly how people regard the Christian faith. Who is and what is this Christian faith? I've heard several times when I've been speaking to people, them say, well, I don't think there is a God. What's he ever done for me? Well, just given you life, that's all. You know, but he is the one who people find offence at in many ways. Well, that I should obey him, no chance. My view is, nobody tells me what to do. And to admit sinfulness would be to just have to swallow my pride. Oh, that's the problem, isn't it? Very often. So when God saw the dangers and the difficulties his people were in, he says, I will deliver them. He is the God who sees. So the second thing is, for Pharaoh, there was a very alarming prospect ahead. The people are numerous. Too many immigrants. That's the problem, isn't it? Let's get out of Europe, etc. I don't know if John Stevens will talk about that. Anyway, that was the problem for them, because God blessed them and they multiplied, as it says in the Bible. And they came to the point where they overran the power that Pharaoh had of them, or he feared that could be the case. With God on their side, it was bound to be the case. So, the people are numerous. If you go to China, John, you'll know that the Communist Party are very worried. And you know what they're worried about? Christians. Because Christians are multiplying. In fact, I do believe, or I'm open to John's correction, that they are more in the Christian churches than there are in the Communist Party as members. Oh dear, that's a bit of a threat, isn't it? Better persecute the Christians, which is of course what is being done, and what we need to pray for them, as we pray with John and Jan over the messengers and their work going off in February, I think, this year. So, this was the alarming prospect that they had. So, when Moses rolls up with this demand, let us go. What? Let you go? Well, what for? Well, we want a sacrifice to the Lord. We'd love to be able to go and have in the wilderness a session of thanksgiving and praise to our God. We were created for worship, weren't we? And they were wanting to do exactly what they were created to do. Today we don't bring animals like they did. But we have done this morning, we've brought our praise and worship, and we shall continue after to do the same. So, second, a very alarming prospect. Third, a very oppressive situation. Ah, dear. The tempo of the building of these treasure cities, as they're called elsewhere, was increased for the Israelites to crack on and do it as quickly as they did before. They had, oh, what's happened with the straw? Well, you're not having any. What do you mean? And there was this consultation, it's sort of like a union meeting between the servants of Pharaoh and the leaders of the Israelites. And the Israelites say, well, it's not us that's causing the problem. It's you, your men. They won't let us have any straw. Do you ever feel put upon? I think, take it to the Lord in prayer, just as they did, because they realized their only hope was in God. And so that actually brings you to a very quick decision. You want the Lord to intervene, but it may take time. And it was doing that here. So, work harder. Isn't that just like Satan? Putting more and more oppression on people who are seeking to serve him. Look around the world, not just in China, but in many Muslim countries, you meet in fear. You meet worshipping the Lord in secret, because you have to, because your heart says, I love the Lord, and the authorities say, well, I'm sorry, but you can't do that. So God still needs to support his people, and we need to pray for them in those circumstances. So the situation went on, and not only did they get to work harder, there's another word down here. Pay no attention to lies. Pay no Hey, lies? Where are they coming from? Well, actually, they're coming, Pharaoh thinks, from those who are leading the Israelites. They're subversive elements. If only he could get rid of them. Well, he wasn't very happy about the situation. Pay no attention to lies. And there were promises to sustain God's people, and they trusted in the promises that had been made to them. God saw his people and he promised them change. If you look at chapter 4, verses 29 and 31, this is what it says. Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of the Israelites, and Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses. He also performed the signs before the people, and they believed, and they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery. They bowed down and worshipped. Oh yes, they were the ones who had to totally rely on the Lord and his promises. And we need to do the same, to rely on the Lord and his promises. I may have mentioned this before, but when my grandmother died, they looked in her Bible, and down the side of various pages, there was T and P. Now, what do you think that stood for? T, tried. And P, proved true. She'd taken what God had promised, and she said, Lord, will you do that for me? I wonder if we dare do that. I wonder if we ought to do that. I know we should do that. But these are the promises that God had made to them. So when this bricks without straw business came along, that went contrary to what God had said. It must have been very, very puzzling for them at the time. And Moses needed to go back to God and get his reassurances. Okay. So, pay no attention to lies. So, we come to the next one. A very unjust conclusion. Moses and Aaron are called up by Pharaoh and told, you're the ones who've got to make this happen. You're the ones who are doing these things that are encouraging them not to obey the officials. Well, that wasn't exactly fair, was it? They had actually had it imposed upon them. And so we sometimes find in life, well, life isn't quite as we'd like it to be, or as people had promised it was going to be when we've become Christians. Sometimes, we have to come back to God and to his word and to him and say, Lord, will you just give me peace until I'm through and grant me grace to cope meantime? So it does happen, of course, in church life. There are difficulties and stresses, and that's when we need to draw closer together as Christians to support our leaders. Moses and Aaron were not the guilty ones. So Moses is confused and angry. Having been blamed for that, it's not fair. I remember saying that quite a number of times when I was a youngster at school, and I was sent off to bed not because I was playing on my iPad, because there weren't then, but because I was probably reading a book and not paying attention to what I was being told. So there we are. But here we are. He was confused and angry, and he told God so. Oh, is it okay to do that? Is it okay to have a go at God? Well, if you look in the Psalms, nearly half of them have got some grumbling. And David was this wonderful man of God. He discovered difficulties he had to cope with. And God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? So, confusion. So did Elijah. The prophets of Baal, he finished up in a cave, didn't he? There's nobody left but me. I'm the only one. Got to preach on that in a fortnight. That's why I brought it in. Anyway, the upshot of that was, he was asked, well, what are you doing then? What are you doing here? And God got him going again. So we have to come back to God in the end. So who was to blame? Question. Well, it was Pharaoh. There was no doubt about that. You see, the people of God were blessed by God. And even Moses had been saved out of the little basket by God's intervention. And so they'd become fruitful. God continued to bless them. And so finally, there's a very significant covenant in verse 24. And it's this. Okay, where are we? Oh yes, it's the one down here. No, I'm sorry. I think you spotted it, didn't you, Ruth? Yes, Sue, because that's the one that's out of place. Oh, it was a deliberate mistake. I wondered if anybody would spot it. But no, okay. So, only the Lord could now make the difference. So, chapter 6, verses 4 to 8. Here we go. My eyes must be getting worse, you know. I can't see a four. Okay, I also established my covenant, God says, with them to give them the land of Canaan where they lived as aliens. And moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with a mighty axe of judgment. That's what God promised. And the covenant is sealed at that point. God will not let his people down. He will see that they have freedom. So, remember, we are children of the covenant, the new covenant in Jesus' blood. We are linked irrevocably to the God who promises to care for us and to bring us home to his glory. And it's all because of the Lord Jesus. It's all because of him. Our God is a listening God, and he will share our burdens and our concerns whenever we have them. And he says too, I have remembered. Now here's the God of all the universe. He's got a few planets he might need to adjust, or a star or two that's not shining brightly enough. But God is the God of the universe. And he says, I've remembered. And he says that to you. I've remembered. I know who you are. I know where you live, but not in the traditional sense of the word. I've got your number. Oh yes, when we're children of the covenant, we're special to the God who saves. And he is working his purpose out in our lives from day to day. And when you hear things like that, it revives your faith, doesn't it? And it sparks more thankfulness. We're going to have a time to worship, to give thanks to God in just a moment. And I will bring you out. It probably seemed impossible. I remember when Margaret's mum had cancer, and she came to live with us, and we had a bed downstairs, and there was a text, as it happens, just above her bed. Now, we weren't sure whether she was a believer or not, but while she was laying there, she read the words that the Lord Jesus was the one who could meet our needs. I am the Lord. Is there anything too hard for me? And she looked at that and she said, I do hope he can do something for me. But before she died, our doctor came to see her, and he said, you know, in this house we believe that God can forgive sin and can give us life, so we have hope when we die. And she trusted the Lord. So that's a wonderful remembrance for us as a family. We have remembered him as he remembered us. So he says, I will bring you out. And in that way, he says, as he did to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weak people. That's great. I need that. I was a bit nervous this morning. I preached a lot of times, but we always have to rely on God to strengthen the weak knees. And my dad used to say, John, when your knees stop shaking, stop speaking. Right. So God isn't deaf. He's a God who hears and remembers an answered prayer. I had this little quote. I don't know why it's there, but maybe it'll be something for you to take away. And this is what it said. True Christian service begins in a meeting with God. John in the wilderness, Paul in the desert, and Moses too, with all his questions and objections. Personal inadequacy. But God said, I know you're not up for the job, but what about me? If God calls, he also enables. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the work you've done in our lives. And we praise and thank you that like Moses, we've seen you in action and we trust you for the future. Thank you, Lord, that you have opened our eyes to see Jesus and to walk with him the Jesus way. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, we're going to move into worship. And Andy's going to come back. And I'll have a seat.